British Sky Broadcasting presents Run, Fat Boy, Run, starring Simon Pegg as Dennis, Tandy Newton as Libby, Hank Azaria as Wit, and Dylan Moran as Gordon. The film's written by Michael Ian Black and Simon Pegg, and directed by David Schwimmer. Voiced by Stephen O'Neill on behalf of MCS Agency. Wedding guests are gathered outside a Victorian terraced house in suburban London. Two children in their Sunday best chase each other round a tree. Two suited men holding champagne glasses are chatting beside the front gate. More guests arrive. There are handshakes and smiles. A white taxi cab is parked in the street, decorated with ribbons across its bonnet. In the kitchen of the house, Libby, a pretty 30-year-old woman with curly brown hair, is putting the finishing touches to a multi-layered cake decorated in hundreds of sugar flowers. A scruffy-haired man in a morning suit enters the room.
That looks good enough to eat.
Oh, thank you.
I wasn't talking about the cake.
Oh, Gordon, you're my cousin.
Never stop the royal family.
You're a very sick man.
Hi.
Hi.
You're yummy.
Oh, Mum, would you take Grandma over to the church, please?
Yeah, come on, sweetheart.
So, do you want to go and tell Dennis that we're ready?
Sure thing.
How's he doing?
Great. Thrilled. I'm telling you, he's thrilled.
A ginger-haired man with a goatee beard and dressed in a morning suit is sitting by himself on the edge of a bed, looking terrified.
Dennis, Gordon, are you ready?
Dennis flinches as Gordon sticks his head round the door.
Wow! You look great! So, are you ready?
Dennis gestures that he needs a tiny bit longer.
Okay, I'm going to give you a minute to,
In the room below, Libby is talking to a man in a morning suit. Upstairs, Dennis is banging his head back against the floor. Libby looks concerned as some plaster falls from the ceiling onto the man's jacket. The guests are starting to make their way towards the church.
Dennis! It's time! Dennis, we have to go!
Banging his head again, Dennis looks at the door. Then he stares at photos on a dressing table. The sash window is open invitingly. He again looks at photos of him and Libby.
Dennis, we're gonna have a baby.
Libby's smiling at him in a memory.
Dennis? Dennis?
Frowning, he struggles to his feet. Gordon's face drops as he looks into the empty room.
Ah, shit.
Dennis is sprinting down the street. The guests gather in front of the house to watch. But Dennis carries on running. Gordon puffs out his cheeks. Libby looks totally bewildered. A little wedding bouquet falls from her grasp. The titles, Run, Fat Boy, Run, are shown. Captions, 5 years later. Grimacing and puffing hard, Dennis in a security guard uniform is running along a pavement, chasing a gangly transvestite.
Come on! Stop! Come back! Give me a break!
But the transvestite keeps running, enjoying the chase. They enter a covered square. The transvestite hurdles a bench. She bumps into a businessman and falls over. Dennis lands on top of her.
Where is it? Where's Mom? You know what I'm talking about.
He grapples with her skirt.
Oh, right! What do you think this is, huh?
I've never seen those before in my life.
Yeah, and you're a big, brownie type
bastard.
Don't.
Little shit.
Nothing to see here, people.
Ow!
She throws her shoe at him. He enters an upmarket women's clothes shop and plonks a pair of blue knickers on the counter in front of a sour-looking sales assistant.
Where's the bra?
What bra?
The transvestite's outside waving the bra.
Come on, fat boy, run!
I'm not fat! I'm unfit!
Go on, then.
With a resentful look, he rushes out of the shop. Dennis is trudging along an empty cobbled street on his way home. He's having a cigarette. His shirt's unbuttoned, and he's wearing an anorak and carrying a green plastic bag. He walks past a long wall covered in peeling white paint. He heads down the steps towards a basement flat in a terraced Victorian townhouse. He stands outside the door and makes a gesture of frustration. He climbs the steps up to the main front door and rings the intercom buzzer.
Yes? Could you let me in, please, Mr. G?
A portly Indian man opens the window by the front door.
Who the hell are you?
It's Dennis Doyle from downstairs.
Dennis Doyle from downstairs is dead. Killed by his landlord. Do you know why?
No.
Failure to pay the rent in a timely fashion.
Dennis!
Hey, Maya, listen, can you tell your dad I'm in a bit of a hurry?
Have you got any money?
Maya, go inside. Aur apne aap ko dhak ke aap badtameez kahi ki besharam. And put something on. Hello? Hello?
Yes.
Do you know what happened to the landlord after he killed Dennis Doyle from downstairs?
No.
They gave him a medal and a nice foot massage.
Hey, Mr. Gustastadok. Mr. Gustastadok!
Dennis turns wearily. He rushes to the front door. Then he comes through a beaded curtain into the bedroom of his small flat. At Libby's, a young boy with fake pointy ears is watching The Lord of the Rings on a TV.
Here it's going to be a party of special magnificence.
You know Bilbo? He's got the whole place in an uproar.
Mm. Oh, well, that should please him.
Jake, your dad's going to be here in a minute. You ready? Ready!
The boy's standing in his pants with a sword and furry slippers at Dennis's flat.
Hey.
Dennis is talking to himself in the mirror.
Hey.
He unbuttons his work shirt.
Hey, how's it going?
He flashes a little bit of vest.
Dennis. Yeah, Dennis. You're looking for a drink, aren't you? Well, what the hell is this?
He pushes his lips against the mirror and starts snogging himself. In Libby's kitchen, a suave man in his 40s has a plastic sword under his arm.
Oh, you got me.
Hi.
Hi.
We're playing Hobbits and Orcs.
Mm-hmm.
Guess who's an orc? Honey, would you mind, this is kind of smart. Can you... Oh, yeah. Thank you.
I'm not finished with you, Witt.
Yeah, one sec. I thought his dad was picking him up. What happened?
What happened? Dennis happened.
Well, on the bright side, you look astonishingly beautiful today. Really.
She looks exasperated and gives Wit a little kiss. She opens the front door. Dennis smiles.
Where have you been?
I was...
Daddy!
Hey, Snowface!
Oh, please don't call him that.
Why? He is a Snowface, isn't he? You are a Snowface, aren't you? Huh? Oh. Jay, that's disgusting. Jay, that's disgusting. Go on.
Toilet first.
Mom.
Go on. Grab your jacket. You were supposed to be here an hour ago, Dennis.
Yeah, there was a bit of a mix-up with the tickets. So. Hey, you look really nice. Did I get you that necklace?
No, it was just a present from someone else.
Who?
Me, actually.
Oh, yeah.
Huh?
It belonged to my grandmother.
Dennis is open-mouthed.
Huh?
Dennis, this is my good friend Whit. Whit, this is my Jake's dad, Dennis.
How you doing?
Good, yeah. Good. Soft hands. Do you moisturize?
I do, actually. Well, it's very nice to meet you. It's nice to finally put a face to the name.
I'd have probably thought you'd have seen one of our photos.
No, there aren't any.
Ready?
Yes. Let's go.
Have fun.
Yeah.
Dennis, you do have the tickets, right?
Libby, credit me with some intelligence.
Nighttime, Dennis is standing among a crowd of people outside a theatre showing Lord of the Rings.
Tickets! Does anybody have any tickets?
Mate, my daughter's not very well. I've got a couple of spare tickets if you want them.
Yes, thank you so much. How much?
Oh, whatever.
This is all the money I have.
He hands over some cash.
Yeah? My son is going to love me.
You want your son to love you? Don't break the law.
Hey, that's entrapment!
Oh, God!
And that's brutality!
A police station.
Libby. It's only a caution.
Hi, Dad.
Libby.
Whit puts Libby and Jake into the back of a taxi, which pulls away. Dennis stands next to Whit and sighs. The two men look at each other, then they're walking along a cobbled street.
So did you work with Libby at the bakery?
No. We met at the bakery, though.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
What?
No, I just was a nervous wreck that day. It took me 4 chocolate eclairs and a macaroon just to get up the courage to talk to her. No, I work in the financial district, actually. I'm a hedge fund manager for Waterman Hughes.
Oh. I do high-level security analysis and operation for an upscale retail outlet.
Really? Libby said you were a security guard at a women's clothing store.
Yeah, that's what I said.
Yeah. Right. Well, I should probably get a cab. I got a big run in the morning.
A big what?
A run. I'm training for the Nike River Run next month.
The what do you want? What?
The Nike River Run? It's a marathon race along the 10th River.
Why would you do that?
Well, it's a charity thing, you know. Plus, I love to run. I actually ran the London Marathon a little while ago.
Oh, that's a coincidence.
Oh, yeah? How's that?
I watched it on the television. It's the last hour. I sleep in on a Sunday, so.
Right. Well, look, you know, I know these things can be pretty awkward, you know. I mean, you know, you're Jake's dad, and, well, I just want you to know that I like Libby and Jake very, very much. And, well, I just appreciate your being so grown up about this, you know? Hey, yo, you want to take this one?
No, you have it.
You sure?
Yeah, I'll get the next one.
All right. Very nice to meet you.
Yeah.
I'm sure I'll see you around.
Yep. Hope so.
Hello, good sir. West India key, please.
Bye.
Bye.
See ya.
Bye-bye.
Dennis frowns as he watches the cab head off and takes a drag on his cigarette. Later, he's sitting on the top deck at the back of a London bus. A few seats ahead of him, a little boy with plastic hobbit ears is sleeping against his father's shoulder. Dennis looks at the little boy with a wry chuckle. He looks back out of the window and sighs. He thinks back to being in the bedroom on the morning of the wedding, staring up at the photos on the dresser, and he's lost in his memories. On a beach, Libby holds up a little red cake.
Okay, open. Happy Valentine's. That's
great. Dennis and Libby gaze at each other. Then he's thinking of a Halloween party. At the edge of a room of dancers, he and Libby are snogging. Gordon takes a photo and they pull their Halloween masks over their faces and strike poses. They continue kissing with their masks on. He remembers sprinting away from Libby's house on the morning of the wedding. Back on the bus, Dennis is still staring out of the window. The little boy has woken up. Dennis looks round at him and gives him a child-friendly smile and wave. The little boy flicks him the middle finger. Dennis goes back to staring out of the window, and the bus continues along the city streets. Next morning, a jogger runs past Dennis's flat. Dennis, in a green t-shirt and blue boxer shorts, is asleep in his bed. He wakes and frowns to himself as he sits up. He checks a packet of cigarettes and tosses it to one side. Later, in casual clothes, he enters an archway under an embankment within which is a piano dealership. Sitting reading a paper at a grand piano, a balding man wearing an orange shirt and brown tie.
Hey, Vincent.
Dennis.
How's business?
What do you mean, business?
Sorry.
He enters a shadowy side room where a poker game's in progress.
Gordon.
Watch the man.
All right.
A woman in a red blouse and black beret pushes her chips into the centre of the table.
3,000.
Gordon, on the other side of the table, studies the woman.
This is all I've got.
Just throw whatever you have in the pot.
OK. Flush, King High.
One of the other players looks impressed.
Ace high.
Gordon tries to hide his disappointment as the woman in the beret takes the pot.
What happened?
Gordon and Dennis are having a cigarette under the arch at the front of the showroom.
Bad luck, mate.
Oh. Oh, hey, I got you those tickets.
They were for yesterday.
What, so now you don't want them?
Why would I want them?
Gordon frowns at him.
Put them on eBay.
Who's going to want to buy tickets for something that happened yesterday?
Time travelers.
Where were you? My whole night was just screwed. Man, and I look like a prick in front of Libby's new boyfriend.
Oh, she didn't tell me she's a new boyfriend. What's he like?
Handsome, well-off, friendly. He's like Peter Perfect out of Wacky Races. And he runs marathons.
Why?
Exactly.
Dennis sits on a piano stool.
Well, look, my only serious relationship ended in a broken collarbone and a dead meerkat, so I may not be the best person in the world to give advice, but you have been trying to get through to Libby for 5 years now, so maybe you should
let her go.
What is her problem?
Dennis, you left her at the altar when she was pregnant.
But that was ages ago.
Well, women remember that stuff. Look, if there's anything else I can do to help, just let me know.
Well, actually, I am a little bit behind on my rent. I was wondering if you had a couple of hundred quid I could maybe borrow.
Gordon appears confused, then a smile breaks out across his face.
Oh, I love you, I really do. I needed that, actually. Oh. That's great. Thank you. I'll see you later.
Then, in a park, Dennis and Jake are sat up in a tree overlooking a path underneath them.
I bet you can't do it.
I can do it, Bill.
Go on.
A jogger looks round below them.
That's a good one. Listen, I'm really sorry about getting you arrested yesterday.
That's all right.
Most universities don't even look at things like that these days.
Dennis hurls a stick down at a bin just as two men pass it.
Do you want to hear a secret?
Absolutely.
There's a girl in my class called Emily.
Well, I'm sure that's not a secret. The teachers probably know about her.
She looks like a tree frog.
She what?
She looks like a tree frog.
That's not a very nice thing to say.
I like tree frogs.
Oh, yeah? More than hobbits?
Jake nods.
I see.
I really think we can make a life together.
You really think we can? That's just like something Whit would say.
He did say it.
Oh, what, to Mum?
Yes.
What a shithead.
Dad.
Sorry. Listen, I'm really glad you were such a big boy about not getting into the whole Lord of the Rings thing, you know?
That's okay. Whit's got us front row seats for tomorrow, so it's even better.
What a shithead.
Dad.
Well.
London's financial district. Wearing a turquoise top, anorak and backpack, Dennis wanders into a square reading a business card. He's standing next to a cast-iron sculpture of commuters as real commuters file past him. Head bowed, he makes his way through a steady stream of people. Then he steps backwards and looks up at a modern skyscraper, nicknamed the Gherkin because of its cylindrical shape. He mouths, fuck me, as he gazes up at it. He's refused entry into the lobby by a security guard because he's smoking. He ditches the cigarette outside, then comes back in and blows smoke into the guard's face. At the front desk, the receptionist holds her finger up at Dennis while she speaks into her headset.
Deliveries are downstairs.
No, I'm...
Waterman Hughes. Нет, собрание отложено до завтра. Yes?
Bonjour.
Bonjour. En quoi puis-je vous être utile?
Dennis draws a blank.
Whit!
Whit's coming downstairs nearby. Dennis waves at him.
Thanks for your help.
So what brings you down here, man? A little high-level security analysis and retail operation?
Huh?
What can I do for you? I'm just on my way to the gym. I got a spin class.
Huh?
Spinning, you know, spinning, bicycles.
Oh, okay. No, I was thinking more along the lines of a pint.
A pint? Oh, a pint. Wow. I'd love a pint, actually, but I really got to hit this class. I'm in training, you know. Well, you want to come along? It's an amazing workout.
I'd love to, but I don't have any gear, so.
Well, I'll lend you some. Great.
3, 2, 1. Stop climbing, resistance up. Jump, push, push. Stop. No cheating, let's go.
How you doing now? You all right?
What'd you say?
Out of the saddle. We're climbing. Okay, let's make it really hard.
Whit steps out of the shower.
So what do you want to talk to me about, man?
Dennis is prostrate on the floor.
Jake said you had some tickets to the Hobbit musical.
Yeah, a friend of mine's an investor in the show. He totally hooked me up. Can you believe that?
Whit drops his towel.
I was just thinking, you know, you don't really want to sit through a whole sort of 3-hour kind of show, do you? So,
well, the thing is...
He pats talc into his undercarriage.
Jake's really kind of got his heart set on this, you know?
Powder?
I'm fine. Sure? Refreshing?
I would imagine it is. I'm thinking maybe, you know, if you like, then I could maybe take Jake and Libby for you, you know, if you want.
Look, I know you must be kind of angry at yourself for messing up with the tickets the other night, and I'd like to help you. I really would, but, well, the thing is, I hope to be more and more a part of Jake's life, you know, and frankly, I'm kind of looking forward to this show. Give Jake and I a chance to get to know each other better. I mean, you can see my point, can't you?
Yes, I can.
They head back through the gym.
So, can I ask you a question?
Sure.
You had her once. Why did you ever let her go?
To be honest, but...
Whoa, just be careful on the stairs here. Your legs might be a little rubbery.
I'm fine.
He tumbles down the stairs.
Sorry. I'm fine.
Yeah, the first step is often the difficult one.
Hey, Lib, it's me. Can you give me a ring?
Dennis heads down the steps to the front door of his flat. He checks his pockets, then hunches over in exasperation. He trudges up the steps to the front door. Mr. Gustashdadar, in a blue polo shirt, opens his window.
Who the hell are you?
Just open the bloody door.
Okay.
Dennis looks slightly confused. Then he's coming down the stairs into his flat. He tosses his carrier bag into the kitchen area and comes through a beaded curtain into the bedroom. He stuffs his hands in his pockets and shakes his head. He takes some keys off his TV and twirls them round his finger. He sits on the end of his bed looking downcast. The next day, a row of Victorian terraced houses have been converted into colourful boutique-style shops. On the corner, there's a purple-fronted shop called Libby's Nice Buns. Inside, Libby's behind the counter of the busy cake shop, serving customers.
There you go. Enjoy. 48!
Yes! Hello.
Dennis, I'm really busy.
Can we talk?
No. Just buy something or go.
Okay, can I have one of your signature cupcakes, please? Actually, can I have this big one?
Dennis?
That one's fine. I like that one too.
Anything else?
Yeah. What do you see in wit?
49.
Yes, I'm 49.
What can I get for you?
No, I'm not done yet.
Yes, you are.
Sorry, I think you've used up your allotted time. You don't have allotted time, okay?
No, you're using up my allotted time.
You don't get allotted time, okay? It's not like a game show, you know, you've got like 15 seconds to win a bun.
Goodbye, Dennis. Yes?
Hello, yes. Do you have any of those little gingerbread rabbits?
Oh, no, we just have those at Easter. So sorry.
Oh.
The bespectacled man in a brown jacket ponders this. Dennis frowns slightly.
Do you have anything else shaped like an animal?
Excuse me.
What?
I haven't paid for my order.
Sorry.
Excuse me.
Yep.
Excuse me.
He squeezes past the man.
Oh! Sorry! Seriously, what do you see in him? Okay, he's well off, all right? He's quite good looking, you know, but I mean, so what?
Is that what you think this is about? I just want some gorgeous sugar daddy.
I wouldn't say gorgeous.
Well, that's not why I'm with him.
Well, why are you with him? You know, give me one good reason.
One? I could give him 50.
I'm 50?
Hang on a minute.
He's mature, responsible, considerate. He's great with Jake.
That's only four.
Hello?
You know what? He's a good man, Dennis. No, he runs marathons for charity, for Pete's sake.
Oh, big deal.
So you could run a marathon?
Could I have a chocolate brownie, please?
Hang on! Oh. Look, Libby, I can change.
Yep, well, great. Let's get married.
Really?
No. We tried that once, remember? You left me at the altar, pregnant.
You cock!
Look, Libby, I can change, OK? I have changed. I can prove it.
How?
I'll tell you. I will run the marathon.
What?
The one that Wit's doing, I'll run that, and I'll finish it.
Come on, you've never finished anything in your entire life, Dennis.
Oh, no, that's not...
No, you can't even finish a sentence!
Don't. You're just being, you know, what's the word?
Cock.
I would settle for something shaped like a fish.
Well, go to the fishmonger!
I'm a vegetarian!
Okay. Dennis, just please leave.
Okay, I'll go. But I'm going to prove this to you, Libby. I can be mature, considerate, and responsible.
Oh!
Dennis?
Yes, Libby?
It's £2.75.
Oh, yeah, right.
Later,
Hey, if Janice thinks he can run the race, he can run the race.
Thank you.
There's no way you can run a marathon.
Why not?
Because you is a lazy bastard.
Hey, I'll have you know I go to spin classes.
You went to one.
Yeah, and now you walk like John Wayne.
Hey, this is important to me. I mean it. Look, I'm sick of being a nearly man. Or I'm sick of being scared. I'm sick of the regret I feel every day because I didn't have the guts to marry the woman I love. All that ends tomorrow at 6 a.m.
The yellow bedside clock clicks to 8:03. Dennis wakes up and looks round at the clock sleepily.
Oh.
He gets up. Then he strides onto the pavement in a black Bowie t-shirt and a pair of blue stripy Speedo-style trunks. He tries a leg stretch and his foot slips off the low wall. He tries more and holds his buttock in discomfort. He does a deep squat. Then he stands, looks at his watch and heads off on a light jog. He pops out a couple of times, but he's swinging his arms well and looking more confident. He starts to smile to himself as he runs, even speeding up a bit. Then he slows and holds his side in some pain. He stops and looks at his watch. He walks back the way he came, pulling his trunks out of his bum. Later, he's sitting on a wall, scratching his crotch. Some schoolgirls watch him and shake their heads. Dennis scratches harder like a dirty old man. Libby appears.
Hi.
He almost falls off the wall.
Feel better?
Much.
Oh, how was spin class?
It was an amazing workout.
Is that right?
Yeah, and I also thought it would be a good chance for me to get to know Wit a little bit better, so...
Well, maybe we should all go out for dinner then.
You think?
Yeah, and then we could go dancing.
You're joking.
No, not at all. And then afterwards we could come back here and have a threesome.
Dennis frowns.
You are joking.
Of course I am. Look, Dennis, I don't know what's going on in that head of yours, but whatever it is, I don't like it.
There's nothing...
Daddy!
Hey, buddy. Yeah, you ready for school?
Yeah.
Wait up a sec.
Dennis seems shocked.
Can I walk with you guys?
Okay.
I'll see you later.
Okay. Bye.
Bye-bye. All right, you ready?
Yeah.
The little boy's arms are outstretched as both men hold Jake's hand as far from the other as possible.
So, Wit, you were around at Libby's pretty early, then.
We stayed over last night.
Oh?
Yes, they were jumping on the bed.
Wow!
Hey, Jakey, guess what? I spoke to my friend, and he does have an extra ticket for the show tonight. What do you say we ask Emily to come along?
Yeah!
Yay!
Wait, he tells you about Emily?
Oh, yeah. Oh, and Libby tells me that you decided to run the marathon?
Yeah.
That's great, man. Seriously. Really, that's awesome.
Okay.
How did you manage to get in?
What do you mean?
Well, you can't just show up and run.
Well, why not?
You have to apply in advance.
Well, how far in advance?
3 months.
And when is it again?
3 weeks. They'll make exceptions sometimes if you're running for a charity, but, you know, each charity's only allowed a certain amount of runners.
Hey, you don't have to worry about me. I'll get in.
So. All right. You ever, run a marathon before?
No, why?
It's pretty grueling.
Well, yeah, that's why they call it a marathon.
Yeah, actually, technically, it's called a marathon because of the events of 490 BC. There was a Greek soldier named Phaeacus.
Can I just stop you there?
Yeah.
I've got nothing to say, I just wanted to stop you there.
In uniform, Dennis is in front of the clothes shop on his mobile. The shop assistant looks cross.
Hello, is that the Cats Protection League? Hello, I'm running a marathon next month, and I was wondering if I could possibly run on your behalf. Great, yeah. Okay. I see. How big is the costume? Okay, I'll call you back.
Dennis is scratching his groin.
Hi.
Dennis.
Oh, yes.
Would you mind not doing that in front of the customers?
Sorry, I went for a run this morning in my trunks, and I think I've got a bit of a rash, you know. Down there in
I understand.
Scrotal zone.
I understand, Dennis. Okay. Please, keep your hands out of the scrotal zone whilst you're at work.
Will do.
Looking bored, Dennis passes a tall mirror and he puffs out his chest. In front of the mirror is a mannequin dressed in lilac lingerie. The shop dummy's index finger is protruding slightly at an optimum height for Dennis, who with a slightly guilty look uses the plastic finger to scratch his groin. He's gyrating his pelvis up and down against it with a grimace of both discomfort and satisfaction. A couple of young women staring at him through the shop window are led away by their mother. He's now hugging the dummy and increasing the size of the pelvic gyrations. He puts his finger up to the dummy's lips.
Dennis
accidentally pulls the bra off the dummy.
Sorry, I was alone.
Outside his flat.
So I'd actually be dressed as a brain. Can I call you back?
In his room, Dennis is standing in his pants, vest and shirt in front of his mirror. He puffs out his chest, then with a frown, he slouches and stares at his beer belly. Outside, still in his pants and vest, he slings his mirror into the front garden. The front door is shut behind him. He tries to open it, then slams his hands against it.
Come on!
Mr. Gustashtadar watches through his window as Dennis continues to bash the door.
Would you like a cup of tea, Dennis?
Then they're sitting at a table in Mr. G's front room.
So that's it. Running this marathon could be my last chance to show Libby that I can change.
You know what I would do if I were you?
What?
I would get some cream for that rash. Let me ask you something, Dennis. Why did you leave your lady at the altar when she was pregnant?
I just wasn't ready.
The toothpaste was already out of the tube, my friend. Being ready had nothing to do with it.
I was scared.
So you are a coward.
I thought we were just going to have a cup of tea.
You did not think you were good enough. Am I right? You thought of your lady, and you were terrified you could not give her what she needed, what she deserved. I thought the same things on the day I married Mrs. Ghosh Dashtidhar. May she rest.
Did you?
Yes, but guess what? It turned out I was good enough. I made myself good enough. You did a stupid thing, Dennis. But she loved you once. And you must have earned that somehow.
Dennis ponders this.
Yeah. Did you have a good marriage, Mr. Gustashtana?
I remember the feeling of being complete, of spending every day with my best friend. But most of all, I remember all the fucking.
Dennis stares at his host with a fixed smile as Mr. G is lost in his thoughts. Dennis nervously takes a sip of tea. Then Jake and Dennis are at the lake in the park playing with a remote control boat.
Oh, 3 degrees starboard.
That's it.
Mutiny! Mutiny!
A huge model galleon.
Whoa. Ahoy there, me lad.
Hey, Jakey. Sorry we're late, love. As soon as Whit found out we were meeting here, he had to go get his vessel.
Jakey, here. Flip that switch.
No, not that one. That one.
The boat fires its cannons.
Whoa, can I steer it?
No, but you can watch me steer it.
Mutiny.
Hey, you wanna?
Libby sits on a bench with Dennis.
Was he okay?
Yeah, it's fine. We had a really nice time until Captain Bligh turned up.
Whit just likes to take things very seriously.
Prepare to be boarded! Or feel the hot wrath of Her Majesty's royal fusillade!
Don't touch it, Brennan.
Mine. So you still gonna run in this marathon?
Yes, absolutely. It's gonna be great. You're gonna see a whole new Dennis.
Right, well, I've been thinking about it, and the thing is, I don't care.
What do you mean?
Dennis, what do you think you're gonna achieve? Do you honestly think that running 26 miles is just gonna wipe the slate clean?
Well, you might change your mind when you see me in jogging shorts.
Look, Whit's having a birthday party for me in a couple of weeks, and it would mean a lot to Jake if you came.
To Jake.
Hey!
A model jet ski crashes into the galleon.
Hey! Hey! Hey, okay. Whose boat is this? Whose boat is this? Excuse me! Is this your boat?
At the poker game...
No way.
Dennis barges in. He stands by the table. A takeaway pizza is offered to him.
Would you like some pizza, Dennis?
Oh, yes, I would, actually. Thank you very much. Ow! Come on. What are you doing? Stop it.
Are you still going to do this? Are you still going to run the marathon?
I want to, yes.
Thank God.
Gordon hugs him.
Why? Because I just bet them every penny I have.
What? You bet on me?
Dennis, you're my best friend. I'm not going to bet against you.
Well, thank you.
Not with these odds.
What if I don't finish? Vincent will kill you.
Or you'll finish.
How can you be so sure?
It's 6 o'clock. Dennis is asleep. Gordon bangs on a saucepan. Outside, Dennis is in shorts, T-shirt and scarf.
So, you're going to be my coach?
That's right.
Why are you here?
I'm the assistant coach.
Why'd you get to be assistant coach?
Because I have this petula. Ow!
Go on, good running.
Wait, isn't there some sort of special technique?
Yeah, you put one leg in front of the other over and over again really fast.
Why are you here again?
Ow! Motivation.
The unlikely trio head off along the street. Gordon's pedaling a bike behind Dennis.
Lift your knees higher. You're not going to get anywhere like that.
Gustash Dadar's on a moped.
You want to feel my spatula?
No, I do not.
Then run! Run like the wind!
This is harder for me, you know.
Then he's running round a lake. Mr. G strikes Dennis's thigh as he passes him. Dennis is running beside a canal.
Good, looking good. Come on, Dennis, keep up the pace.
Wait.
He stops and hunches over.
I think I got a blister.
Okay.
Yep. Gently.
All right.
It covers the entire ball of his foot.
Okay. Oh, all right.
Is it bad?
No, it's not that bad. No, it's not.
Oh, that's big.
Yeah. Look at that thing. It's like a womb.
Don't.
Hey, maybe there's a little man in there who looks just like you, but he's really good at running.
What are you talking about?
Just a thought.
You're gonna have to pop it.
No way. Never pop another man's pustule.
Well, I'll do it then. Give me the needle.
That's the closest I could get.
It's a nail.
It's fine. I sterilized it.
In what?
It's sterilized.
Okay. Ooh, you're gonna get it. Stick it in.
Pop it!
I can't!
Why not?
It's scary!
Give it to me.
Just do it slow. Do it gently,
yeah,
okay?
Right, trust me.
After three, okay?
Okay.
One.
Gordon sticks the nail in the huge blister.
Oh! It's in it! Yeah! Get it out! No! Take it out!
Hold still! Hold still!
Gordon's face is covered in pus. Dennis covers his mouth in horror.
I'm so sorry. That's never happened before.
Gordon rushes into the kitchen area.
I'm Catholic. That was the second most disgusting fluid I've ever had in my eye.
Who's that?
That's Mr. G. Get something nice on, something respectable.
Where are we going?
A long room with wooden clad walls. With a certain trepidation, Gordon and Dennis, both in suits, are pushing Mr. G, who's in a wheelchair wearing a suit jacket and yellow polo shirt, towards a table, behind which three smartly dressed people are sitting with unwelcoming expressions. The poster for the marathon is on the wall behind the interviewers.
Every year, literally hundreds of people are affected by acute neurocortical emphysitis, or Habsburg syndrome.
I see. And how does the condition manifest itself?
The syndrome is characterized by a loss of lower body function. Sporadic and often violent outbursts of profanity. And often chronic flatulence.
Mr. G tries to squeeze one out, but shrugs at Gordon.
It's our aim to raise awareness of the condition and hopefully some funds to give some much-needed support to people such as Mr. Gushdastadar here. Mm.
The interviewer in the middle of the table consults with his colleagues.
Well, we think that Mr. Gosh Tashtidar's condition is very serious and warrants support. And we'd be delighted for Mr. Doyle to run on behalf of
acute neurocortical emphysitis.
Or
Habsburg's syndrome
awareness. Yes.
Okay.
Mr. G tries to get up but is held down.
We'll just need the charity's registration number.
The what?
The registration number.
Gordon, Dennis and Mr. G look at him blankly.
Well, that couldn't have gone any worse. Mm.
The wheelchair tumbles down the marble staircase.
Oh, hit by a wheelchair!
I'm so sorry.
Stings.
Oh my God.
No. Dennis, don't touch him.
Can you believe that?
Are you okay?
No.
Legs broken.
We are so sorry.
Call an ambulance.
Oh, this can't be happening.
Oh, God.
We're supposed to be running the marathon in 3 weeks.
Really?
Yeah. I've got so many people depending on me.
Charity people?
Hmm?
Yeah. God.
What charity people?
What do you think?
Nice.
In his flat, Dennis is wearing a National Erectile Dysfunction Awareness T-shirt.
Nicotine patch?
Applied.
You been to the toilet?
1 and 2.
You ready?
Ready.
Outside, Dennis is weaving round concrete bollards. Gordon's reading a book. Mr. G's eating crisps. In a boxing gym, Dennis watches a guy skipping. There's a brawny boxer lifting a big dumbbell. Next to him, Dennis lifts a tiny one. The skipping guy has incredibly quick rope speed. In the park, Dennis is doing chin-ups on a chin-up bar. Mr. G whacks him.
Out!
Get up there!
Dennis tries skipping and falls on his front. Then he's staggering up some grassy steps up a hill. At the poker game, he's offered biscuits, but he shakes his head and continues munching his carrot sticks. He frowns at his cards.
Raise.
No!
In the park, he lifts Jake up to the chin-up bar. He's moved on to a larger dumbbell, but he's having to lift it with both hands. At Mr. G's, he's lying on his front with a towel over him. His landlord comes in to give him a massage. Then Dennis and Gordon try and lift Mr. G to the chin-up bar in the park. At his flat, Dennis is filling a pint glass with raw eggs. Then he's jogging through the park. He spots Wit approaching and somersaults into a bush. In a flat, he takes large gulps from the pint of raw eggs and spits it all straight back out. Then he's running more confidently through the park. He does several chin-ups at the chin-up bar. At the gym, the burly boxer nods at Dennis, who's lifting heavier dumbbells. Dennis is running up the grassy steps that he once staggered up. He does a little dance down a couple of them, then continues upwards. He reaches the top of the hill and stops with his hands on his hips, catching his breath. He looks at the view of the city in front of him, and with a contented nod, he jogs away. Back at his flat, Dennis gets out of the shower and starts to towel himself dry. Mr. G's slim daughter is lying on his bed in an orange top and a little blue skirt.
Hi, Dennis. I saw your friend Gordon this morning.
I will replace anything he stole.
He told me about his little bet.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, crazy, huh?
Yeah. So I made a crazy little bet of my own.
Ooh, with?
With you, silly.
We haven't made a bet.
We're about to. Here it is. If you finish the race, I'll forgive all the back rent you owe.
And if I don't?
If you don't finish, you pack your bags and you leave. You go, and I finally get some tidy tenants who pay their rent on time. Deal?
No deal.
She whips away his towel and takes a Polaroid photo.
Deal.
Deal.
He's just finishing getting dressed.
Maya, if you think naked...
Maya? Hey, hello, Mr. Gostadzida. How are you? I've got something for you.
Ooh, this is not the spatula, is it?
No.
He opens a box containing a pair of brand new yellow running shoes.
Wow.
To help you be a good man.
He hugs Mr. Gushdastadar tightly.
Thank you. Wow.
Then Dennis and Gordon are looking up at a very exclusive apartment block.
Peter Perfect's Perfect Palace.
Try saying that when you're smashed.
I will. Yay!
Libby's party is in full swing in Whit's luxury penthouse apartment. The designer pad is full of partygoers. Dennis and Gordon enter the place open-mouthed. Whit's waiting nearby, holding a champagne flute.
Hey. Hey, Dennis.
Hey.
Glad you can make it.
Thank you.
Oh, hey!
Wow, Libby. You look, wow.
Thank you.
I know, right? Never mind all this. I'll take the view I have right here.
Libby kisses him. Dennis and Gordon exchange glances.
I'm Gordon, Libby's cousin. Hello.
Gordon, of course. I've heard a lot about you. Very nice to meet you.
Really? Oh, I thought you said he was an arsehole.
Dennis.
Gordon?
What?
It's okay, Libby.
Libby, I got your birthday present.
Aww.
It's a CD. I hope you don't have it because I don't have a receipt. And I didn't exactly get it in the shop.
Well, thank you, I think.
It's okay. Where's the toilet?
I'll show you. And you could entertain Dennis.
Okay. That is, if he doesn't mind hanging out with an asshole.
He was joking. I never said you were an asshole.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I did.
Gordon and Libby head along a corridor.
Whit seems nice.
Yeah, he is.
Good-looking, friendly, well-off, steady job, good with Jake. It's like he got him out of a catalogue.
And what's your point?
I ordered a pair of shoes once from a catalogue. Gorgeous, soft leather Italian loafers. They looked amazing, but then they arrived and I put them on and they hurt like fuck.
Thanks, I'll bear that in mind.
Wow. Hey, do you think it would be weird if I took a bath?
Libby looks at him.
Yeah, that would be weird.
Hey.
Hey.
Here you go.
Oh, thanks.
Cheers.
Cheers.
Whit points at the view of the city.
What do you think?
I think I see a guy peeing on your car.
What?
Gotcha. Oh, very good.
Actually, you see that?
What?
There. I'm talking about St. Paul's Cathedral. You see it?
Uh-huh.
Currently my favorite spot in London. You know why?
Is it because that's where you first realized how amazing you are?
It's the finish line for the marathon. Only two more days and I get to cross it. Can't wait.
Me too.
Greatest feeling in the world, finishing a distance race. I think you're really gonna get a kick out of it.
You don't think I'm gonna finish, do you?
No, I don't.
Why not?
Because it's really hard, Dennis. Actually requires a couple of things that, forgive me, but you don't seem to possess.
I happen to have a very nice pair of running shoes now, thank you very much.
I'm talking about discipline and perseverance. And all cute little comments aside, there comes a point in every race, could be the fifth mile, could be the 25th, but eventually, you're going to hit what runners like to call the wall. And when you do, you won't be able to breathe or think or even move. All you're going to want to do is give up. And I have a very strong feeling that that's exactly what you're going to do, Dennis. See, that's the difference between getting a girl like Libby and keeping a girl like Libby.
Dennis loses his wry smile and simply stares blankly at Whit.
You good? Need anything else?
No.
Okay.
Whit heads back down to the party. Dennis turns and sighs and stares down at his scotch. Nighttime, the party's still in progress. Dennis wanders up to a model sailing ship on display and looks at it in a rather lukewarm way. He takes a canapé, sniffs it and pops it into his mouth. He grimaces and spits the crumbs out over his shirt. He sees Libby by herself on the balcony outside and brushes the crumbs from his chin. He heads outside and takes a deep breath. He approaches just as she turns and they collide. Her drink spills over the front of her dress.
Oh, shit! Sorry, okay.
No, it's okay, it's okay.
It's just
soda water, honestly.
Should I not rub your boob then?
Yeah.
Okay, sorry. I can do the other one. You know. As I'm here, I might as well just even it up. Sorry. Ah! So, you having a good time?
Yeah. Yes, I am. Thank you.
There's an awkward moment.
You've lost weight.
Yeah, just a little bit.
Yeah.
You know, getting on. Where's Jake? I thought he was gonna be here.
No. Whit thought that we'd have a better time if we got a sitter.
What did you think?
Libby seems unsure how to answer.
I should get back.
Libby, I never actually thanked you.
For what?
Well, for just sort of letting me back into your life.
Jake's life.
Well, you know. I mean, I wouldn't have been surprised if you just cut me off completely, you know.
Oh, now you tell me.
Well, no, I mean,
Now he needs his dad.
Yeah. You were right, you know, about me entering the marathon. It was because I was sort of trying to win you back kind of thing. And I'd always kind of hoped that maybe we'd, you know, get back together and that. But, you know, when I saw you with Wit...
Dennis.
And I know it's the height of hypocrisy. And I know doing this isn't going to change anything or make anything better, but, I'd settle for your respect. You know, I'd settle for you smiling when you thought about the time that we had together and not thinking it was a waste of time. You know, I mean, I know I didn't do you any favors on that day, okay? I did a stupid, stupid thing, but it was only because I thought spoiling your day was better than ruining your life. Does that make any sense?
She nods slightly, then shakes her head.
You're such an idiot.
Hey, I got you something.
Oh, what is it?
It's something I think you don't have.
A history of reliable boyfriends?
No, it's only, you know, open it later on.
Okay.
Happy birthday.
Thank you.
Slightly tearfully, she gives him a quick kiss on the cheek and heads back inside. With a thoughtful expression, Dennis leans on the balcony railing and looks out at the city lights. The main staircase to the flat curves back on itself to get to the first floor. The bend provides a natural podium above the partygoers, and it's where Wit and Libby are now standing.
Oh, God, no.
Everyone, can I have your
attention?
Oh, my God. Hey, everyone. Where are you going? Your attention, please. Everyone, hi. Thank you for coming. Really good to see you
Thank
all.
Thank you.
As you all know, we're here to celebrate the birthday of one Elizabeth Olivia Odell.
Dennis is amongst the group of partygoers gathered in the hall below.
As many of you know, my passion in life is running. And in fact, in a couple of days, I'll be completing another marathon. Thank you very much.
Dennis shrugs with indifference.
Now, success in running requires a lot of the same things as success in love. Passion, determination, and something I needed a lot of with Libby, stamina.
Libby gasps. Dennis speaks to a waitress.
That's just inappropriate, isn't it?
The long-winded point I'm trying to make is that both love and running require heart. And Libby has more heart than any other person I've ever known. So, happy birthday, sweetie.
He passes her a gift. Libby opens the box as Dennis drains his drink.
See this for a second? Now, as most of you know, I usually run my races alone, but I was wondering if you would consider becoming my partner.
He opens a box with a little ring in it. Dennis looks horrified.
Libby? Will you marry me?
Libby appears overwhelmed and a little cautious in her response. Dennis looks like a man whose world has just imploded. Libby looks away from Wit as if struggling with her emotions. Dennis mouths no, no, no with a shake of his head.
Okay, yes.
Yes.
They embrace and share a kiss. Dennis watches for a moment in a state of utter shock. Then he barges through the party guests, and with a final look at the couple cooing over the ring, he leaves. Gordon comes down the stairs in a bathrobe.
What I miss?
Then Dennis is staggering along a path at the edge of the river with the office blocks of Canary Wharf behind him.
You bloody... All right. You can stick it out your ass, you big American prick.
He takes a drink of his beer and stumbles sideways. He leans against the railing as if he's about to be sick. Then he rests his head against it. Still with a beer in his hand, he stumbles into his flat. He has a couple of goes at taking the keys out of the lock, tries to switch on the light, retrieves his keys, and slumps onto the end of his bed.
Stop.
He lights a cigarette and has a long drag on it. He switches on a lamp and starts to flick through a photo album filled with images of Libby and Jake. He lies on his back on his bed, and still smoking, he continues to study the photos of his ex-girlfriend. Libby's sitting by herself in a side room of Witt's flat. She's drinking a glass of wine. She takes Dennis's gift from out of a pile of presents. Its wrapping paper features nubile female pin-ups. The little card says, "One photo can't hurt. Love, Dennis." She unwraps a framed photo of the pair of them in Halloween masks and giggles. Then she smiles at it wistfully. A London park. Early morning, Dennis is asleep in his clothes on top of his bed. Libby's knocking on the window.
Dennis!
Dennis is having a fry-up in a cafe.
So what do you think we should do, Dennis? Jake got really upset when I tried to explain it to him. So I just wonder whether maybe you could talk to him today.
Dennis drinks his tea with a cold glare.
You know, just if he heard it from you, that you're always going to be his daddy, you know? I'd take it the diet's off.
He glares at her again.
Dennis, are you even listening? Dennis!
What, you want me to tell Jake what a perfect guy Witt is, and it's all going to be really perfect in his new perfect life?
No, not necessarily in those words.
I cannot believe you're going to marry this guy. He pulled your engagement ring out of a shoe.
Please, Dennis, you're the only one who can help Jake feel okay about this.
Listen, if you want to marry Witt, that's fine, okay? You're a big girl and you can make your own mistakes, okay? But don't come down here while I'm eating my full English breakfast with extra breakfast and expect me to make things easier for you, okay? Can I please get some ketchup here?
At the poker game...
I'm not going to run.
What?
I said I'm not running.
Vincent smiles slyly at Gordon, who heads into the piano showroom with Dennis.
What do you mean you're not running?
I mean I'm not running. I'm not running a stupid marathon.
Why? Because Libby's getting married again. What did you think? She's not going to find anybody better than you. Well, let me be the first to tell you. You know, you're not a tough act to follow.
Oh, what, you think I don't know that?
I don't care anymore. What about me?
What about you?
I've got money on this, a lot of money.
That is not my problem.
Gordon shoves him.
Quit it.
I'm not the quitter.
They push each other. Dennis looks shocked. They grab each other in headlocks.
Ow, my ear!
Gordon slaps Dennis across the face. Dennis gasps. Then they strike each other with repeated little slaps like two infants in a playground. Gordon punches Dennis in the face, sending him reeling through the doorway. Gordon steps outside. Dennis lamps him in the face with a steel bin lid, knocking him over. Dennis empties the contents of the bin over his erstwhile friend. Then he stands on the bin and jumps off it like a wrestler, but Gordon rolls out of the way and Dennis lands on the cobbles. Gordon stands up.
Are you gonna run now?
Gordon kicks Dennis hard in the nuts.
Okay.
Gordon starts to help him up, but Dennis punches him in the nuts. Both men are now holding their groins. Gordon staggers around, bent double.
My love.
Dennis gets to his feet and rushes round a corner.
That's it, run away! I told you! Run away!
Dennis slumps down against the wall. Later, he's walking towards his flat. Maya has piled all his stuff onto the pavement.
Hey, hello, Dennis.
What are you doing?
Gordon called. He tells me you're not running the marathon.
Yeah, but...
But what? Are you running or not?
No.
So there you go. Sorry, Dennis. So that's a bet. You're out.
Mr. Gostestida! Mr. Gostestida!
Who the hell are you?
Oh, please, look.
I thought you were a good man, Dennis.
Yeah.
A little screwed up here in the head. Okay. But Maya was right about you. You're no good.
Look.
Always running away, never running in the right direction.
Yeah, but... Oh,
I bought you new running shoes, Dennis. The men said they were the best you can buy.
Yes, but...
But! Always but! Always excuses with you! Always some reason why it's not your fault! I have news for you, Dennis Doyle from downstairs. It's all your fault.
Mr. Gustashtadar storms off. Then Dennis has piled the contents of his room, including mattress and bags of clothes, into a supermarket trolley, which he's pushing to Libby's house, where Witt's sweeping the front step.
Hi.
Hi.
You having a yard sale?
No. Where's Libby?
She's picking up Jake.
I suppose congratulations are in order.
Oh, yeah. Well, thank you.
Best man won.
Well, I wasn't really aware it was a contest.
Dennis! Is Jake with you?
No, why?
Was he here, Wiz?
I thought you were picking him
Jake!
Up.
Jake!
Libby!
Jake!
Libby, what is...
What did you say to him?
I didn't say anything. What do you mean?
That he was at Emily's and something happened. He just ran out.
What?
He just ran away, okay? Jake ran away.
Dennis is sprinting along a cobbled street.
Jake! Jake!
He runs up to a modest block of flats.
Gordon! Gordon!
Yes?
Jake's run away!
What?
He's run away!
All right, well, wait a minute. Just calm down. Think for a second. Where would he go?
Then Dennis is sprinting along a path in the park. He holds his arms up to his head as he rushes through some low-lying branches. He continues through a wooded area. Then he's running up a hill with a park lake behind him. He reaches the top of the hill and starts to slow down. He holds his hands close to his face in a gesture of emotion. The tears well up as he rests his hands on his head. There's a little boy sitting by himself under a nearby tree. The child has a red hooded top and is sitting hunched over with his forehead resting on his knees.
Oh, that's not face.
Jake looks up and leaps into his dad's arms for a big hug. Dennis sighs a couple of times, kisses his head, then carries him away. Still in the park, Dennis is on his mobile, while Jake waits on a bench.
Yeah, he's fine. We'll be back in about half an hour, I guess. Okay.
Dennis sits next to Jake.
Is she mad at me?
No, she's just glad you're okay.
Dennis rubs his son's head.
Do you want to tell me what happened?
Emily doesn't want to be my girlfriend anymore.
Why not?
Because there's this other boy, Robert, and he's got a ponytail, and she likes him now.
What, she likes him because he's got a ponytail?
Uh-huh.
Jake and Mike, as you get older, you're going to realise there are a lot of things that you don't like, okay? Things much worse than this. And when those things happen, you can't just run away.
Why not?
Because it doesn't solve the problem. You know, when you stop running, the problem's still there. You've got to stick at it and then figure out a way to solve the problem, even if it's really, really hard.
Is that what you do, Dad?
Dennis stares into space.
Dad?
Dennis is pushing the trolley away from the house.
Dennis!
Gordon appears on a balcony.
Found him?
Yes.
Good. Can't stay here. Gordon! What?
I'm running.
Gordon waves him in.
Well, come on up then.
In the flat, Dennis is in pyjamas.
Wow.
This is great. Where'd you get them?
Witt's place.
Nice.
See, the trick is you got to load up on carbs the night before the race. I read it in Cosmo. How are the legs? Not too tight?
No. They're fine.
Have you got everything you need? You know, your shoes, your shorts, your penis t-shirt?
Yes.
Gordon roots around in pots on the floor as Dennis frowns at a big plate of spaghetti. Gordon holds up a tube of KY jelly.
I'm not really in the mood.
It's for your nipples.
What?
You run a 26-mile race. A lot of friction is generated from your shirt to your nipples. And the last thing you want during a marathon is nipple chip.
Cosmo?
Yeah?
I'm not putting that on my nipples, OK? And I'm not going to eat this. Let's just go to sleep.
Well, at least let me make your bed for you.
Gordon tosses a pile of clothes off a sofa.
Anything else?
Have you got a pillow?
No.
Well, then I guess I'm fine.
Dennis lies down on the sofa.
Hey, what time do you have to be up tomorrow?
Well, we should set the alarm for about 7 o'clock.
I don't have an alarm clock.
Why not?
I never need to be anywhere.
Dennis pulls his alarm clock from a bin bag full of clothes.
The race starts at 9, okay? So we should leave here no later than 8, okay?
Okay. Night.
Love you.
Early morning. The runners are already gathering on the banks of the Thames near to Tower Bridge.
First annual Nike River Run. We've had a very warm welcome from the crowd. Haven't got perfect conditions for this race, Denise.
We certainly have. 26.2 miles along the River Thames, 10,000 runners from all over the globe, and an amazing way for many of these folks to raise money for so many worthwhile charities.
And as we can see, race officials are already busy at the starting line, with the start less than an hour away.
Denis wakes with a start and leaps off the sofa. Then he and Gordon are running along the street in their pyjamas. They bundle into the back of a black cab. Near the start, the runners are limbering up.
There's five bridges, including Waterloo Bridge, Albert Bridge, and the Millennium Bridge.
Okay, official, go at your own pace today, right? Slow and steady.
Okay, slow and steady.
Yeah, they're challenging the leaders we have here, one from Japan, Horishi Shimizu, and of course, up there alongside Ishimi Yamada.
The taxi lurches to a stop. Denis is thrown over Gordon's lap. A pretty girl waves at them.
Amongst the names who should be looking at, the men from Kenya, always so strong, Wilson Kite, Collison Degua, always been found in front of the pack.
The taxi stops in a traffic jam.
Oh! As far as I can get, mate.
But I need to get to the start of the race.
Well, it's just over the bridge, that's 15 quid, mate. You got any money?
Sir, we have a slight liquidity problem.
That is a shame.
The driver picks up a cricket bat.
Oh, no, wait. Look. This is a 1940s
Rolex. $520 for a picture of an oyster with a bubble back. It's not too shabby.
Gordon, you can't possibly give him...
Hey, it's an investment.
Thank you. I'll see you later, then.
Now changed into his running gear, Denis sprints away from the cab.
Now, typically, the day would have started with the crack of dawn for most of these runners. They have a balanced breakfast, precise physical and mental preparation. On a day like today, to leave anything to chance, you'd either have to be extremely naive or a complete idiot.
Standing on Tower Bridge, Denis exhales as he looks at the thousands of runners thronging on the embankment below. In the poker room...
Over here. To me. That's it. Be careful, that's an antique.
Does it start?
Not yet.
Turn it on.
Here we go.
What I love about these days is the sheer mix of competitors. They come in all shapes and sizes, from the elite over there to the, how should we put it, not so elite.
Denis is bending over.
Look at that stretch. Look at that.
Double or nothing.
Yeah, right.
Just a few minutes to go now. The warm-up should be complete. It's time, if you have one, for that pre-race ritual.
Denis applies cream to his chest.
Well. You made it, huh?
Yeah.
Just want to wish you luck out there.
You too. How are your nipples?
Great.
Denis scowls at Wit, then spots the light-fingered transvestite who's dressed in a bright pink tracksuit. Libby joins her son in front of the telly in their sitting room.
More toes!
Who do you want to win, Daddy or Wit?
Who do you want to win?
Daddy, of course. What about you?
Eat your toes.
She kisses him on the head. At the race start line, there are a row of elite runners in orange outfits at the head of the competitors. Further back, there are two guys in costume. One's a giant hare, and the other a giant tortoise.
Why am I always the tortoise?
A bet's a bet.
Pardon me.
All right.
Well, Denis, I gotta admit, I didn't think you'd make it this far. I mean, you don't exactly have the best, track record, do you?
Yeah, well, that was then, and this is now.
No, Denis!
The starter raises his pistol.
This is now!
The front runners start to pour through the orange arch marking the start of the race. Wit and Denis are further back in the melee, waiting for the crowds to start moving. They head off slowly.
Don't feel you have to keep up with me.
Well, I don't feel like you have to keep up with me.
Oh, yeah, that's the spirit.
And they're off, Chris. Yet another great marathon gets underway here in London.
And ahead of these brave runners, what, 26.2 miles of crowded London streets.
That was great what you did with Jake yesterday, by the way.
Thanks.
I know Libby really appreciated it, too.
Oh, I'm glad.
In fact, she was so appreciative, we had a nice little jump on the bed.
What?
Have a good race!
Wit rushes off. The pink-clad transvestite is flinging her arms about as she runs, enjoying the attention. With a determined expression, Denis catches up with Wit again.
Isn't it enough?
What?
You got the girl, all right? Isn't it enough?
I just think it's high time you realize that it's over, sir. Otherwise, it's going to be very tough for you when we move to Chicago.
What?
You better slow down there, Chief. You got a long way to go.
Yeah, well, so have you.
Oh, yeah. Yes, I like it. Run, fat boy, run!
Whit moves past him. Dennis struggles to keep up.
I can lose weight, but you'll always be an arsehole.
So once again, it's still being dominated by the Kenyan
team. The runners are making their way along the embankment. What a beautiful view.
The group in orange vests are still at the head of the race. Further back, Dennis and Whit are trying to get in front of each other.
So here we are among the leaders at the moment. The pace is relatively relaxed for the opening march.
Maybe a little too relaxed, Chris. It looks like we've got a couple of amateurs coming up from the back.
Jake looks shocked as he sees Dennis and Whit on the TV.
It looks like these two boys are running a race of their own here today. In fact, they're causing quite a stir among the serious runners. Not something you'd really expect at this stage in the race.
Sorry.
Oh, my goodness. There's a man down.
Sorry.
But all eyes right now are on these two runners.
No. What are you doing?
We hope to bring you that information.
Slow down. But he looks good, doesn't he?
Oh, yeah.
He's setting a new world record.
Dennis and Whit are now sprinting at the front of the race.
What are you trying to prove? I don't love you anymore, man.
I'm not doing this for a living.
Yeah, right. You're ridiculous, dude.
What's the matter, Whit? Come me back.
Whit moves behind Dennis and takes his feet from under him. Dennis tumbles over. Whit falls next to him. Most of the elite runners hurdle the chaos. A couple trip over Dennis, who's gripping his knees. The poker group look shocked, as does Jake.
Dennis! I mean, wait!
Dennis continues to cause an obstruction. He guards his head.
It does look very serious. We're getting some more information.
Dennis writhes in agony. Whit slowly gets to his feet and hobbles off with the race. With bloodied knees, Dennis tries to stand, but collapses again, holding his right ankle. He glares at Whit, who's running off in the distance.
Spike down!
Gordon watches the TV looking drained. Still in real pain, Dennis watches the runners stream past him. In his front room, Mr. G has picked up his coat and spatula.
Where do you think you're going?
Go help Dennis.
Why?
Because I'm the assistant coach.
A race marshal's now crouching beside Dennis.
That looks really painful. Looks like this runner's race day will be ending at St. Luke's Hospital.
Yeah, absolutely tragic.
Mum, do something.
You certainly do. Let's get back to the leaders in the female race.
Paramedics bring a stretcher towards Dennis. In the race, Whit runs round a corner and slows. He's holding his side in some discomfort. He takes a bottle from a water station, has a gulp, and discards it. He throws up his arms. His left knee is cut and bruised. He bends over and looks round. Libby and Jake are running along the street. Mr. Gustashtadar is on his moped. A little old lady in a mobility scooter passes him going round a corner. In the poker room...
Gordon, I think I'll speak for everyone here. When I say, give me my money.
$5,000, please.
OK, here's the thing about the money. And actually, it's kind of funny. I don't have it.
Vincent looks at the other poker players.
Would you excuse us a moment?
A bruiser grabs Gordon. Libby and Jake run up to the front desk at the hospital.
Hi, I'm looking for a patient, Dennis Doyle.
Are you family?
Yeah.
Doyle?
Yes, Dennis Doyle.
Oh, I'm sorry, we don't seem to have anyone registered by that name.
Are you sure? He's a runner in the marathon?
Oh, the runner. Oh, yeah. Well, he's just arrived.
Libby?
Whit?
How'd you know I was here?
What are you doing here?
Honey, that psychopath tripped me. He tripped me. I think I have ligament damage. Guys, fellas, can I always have a conversation, please? Just once. Find me.
Vincent. Look, when I said I didn't have the money, I meant I didn't have the money here. I can pay.
Oh, you're going to pay?
No, wait, look. Vincent. Wait a minute, Vincent.
The shutters are closed and Mr. G's silhouetted at the entrance to the piano shop.
Not so bloody fast, mate.
Who the hell are you?
Thanks for that, Mr. G.
Your friend is a man of honor.
What, Vincent?
Yes, he said he's going to kick shit out of you later instead.
I don't understand. On the TV, they said he was being brought here. One second.
I can sue him. You know that, right? I can sue him for everything he has, but, you know, seriously, what am I going to do with some pizza boxes and a Judas Priest t-shirt?
Honey, I'm sure it was an accident.
Well, you weren't there, okay? You didn't see it. He was wild-eyed, all right? He was frothing at the mouth at one point. It was like running a marathon with Cujo, okay? Jake, buddy, can I control the bed, please?
No, but you can watch me control it.
Jake's raised both ends of the bed.
Libby, where are you?
The hospital.
Are you with him?
No, he's not here.
What do you mean he's not there?
I mean, he's not here.
Well, where the hell is he then?
Limping, in a great deal of pain, his knees still bloodied, Dennis is hobbling slowly along the roadway across London Bridge. He's still in full running kit. There are no other competitors around him, just a line of cars building up behind him.
Vincent.
Yeah, but he's still going to pay us, right, Vincent?
The first images are coming in from what looks like a camera phone showing a lone, mysterious runner. He's looking very badly injured, I must say. And he's also called in some major crash.
Kev!
Yeah, it's a Rolex. I'm not going to sell it. It's a family heirloom now.
Vincent drags the cab driver out of the taxi.
Hey! What are you doing? Get me down to stick a man's cab!
On London Bridge,
Dennis Ryan from downstairs!
Who the hell are you? You beauty, come on!
And as the sun sets over London, we're still looking into the identity of that mysterious runner.
Come on, Dennis, you can do it, come on!
The only concrete thing we do know is that he's running for erectile dysfunction.
In the hospital.
Good news, Mr. Bloom. No rupture, no ligament damage.
Oh, that's great.
Jake, please. In fact, there's no real damage anywhere. Are you sure, Doctor? Jake, please. It's like, what is it you runners say? You hit the wall. No, that's not possible.
Wits thrown backwards.
God damn it, will you stop messing around with the bed, you little shit? God.
Libby stares at Wit in disbelief. Nighttime, Dennis has a small group behind him as he hobbles across another bridge.
Good evening, it's time for a sports update. Top story, the Nike River Run. We'll be chatting to the winner a little bit later on, but first we've had thousands of emails and calls about our mystery runner. I can tell you now, our TV crew have just caught up with him.
Excuse me, sorry.
Will you slow down, please?
Outside the hospital, Libby ignores Wit and helps Jake into a taxi cab.
You hungry? You want to get a bite?
Stop!
Everyone out, get out!
Oi!
Oi!
Go away!
Look at this thing! Somebody trip him! Knock him over!
No! Invalid! Offside! Oh. Leave him alone! Get off him! I want my money now!
Don't listen to them, Dennis! You are a winner! Stop it! I'm wearing
clear off!
The loneliness of the long-distance runner. A phrase epitomised by this man, Dennis Doyle. For the last 11 miles, he's been running on what appears to be a severely sprained ankle. What a testament to the power of the human spirit. Mr. Doyle, how do you feel?
How the fuck do you think I feel?
What an inspiration. We'll keep you updated as this story progresses.
Get out of the bloody way!
Sorry.
Well,
Libby.
What a remarkable
Libby, I'm
day
sorry, all right? I lost it. I wasn't thinking. I'm sorry. Honey, can we just... Jake, buddy, would you mind just giving us a little piece with the TV, please? Thank you. Honey, can we just talk about this, please?
Some girls are holding a banner saying, "We love you, Dennis." The hobbling security guard has a growing fan group behind him.
Do you know Mr.
Dawson? Oh, I'm the assistant coach.
Oh, really? What's your name?
Mr. Bush, that's the
hush.
Bush.
Go.
Okay, just call me John. It was me who discovered his potential.
Dennis is shaking his head with his eyes closed.
I can't breathe. My head's gonna explode.
It's not gonna make it.
I have to stop. I have to stop.
No.
I'm sorry.
You can't. What are you doing? You can't stop. You're nearly there.
What? How much further?
It's a little tiny 9 miles.
Okay.
Dennis walks into an invisible obstruction. Gordon and Mr. G exchange glances. Dennis stands and sways as he looks at the long path through a park ahead of him.
Oh, no.
What?
He's hit it.
Dennis is now looking up at a huge wall. His eyelids are heavy and he appears woozy. He turns to look behind him, but everyone's mysteriously vanished. It's just him and this enormous wall. At Witt's apartment.
Okay, baby, let's get you to bed. Jakey. Dennis.
Dennis?
Doyle, a clothing store security guard running for the last 10 3/4 hours on basically one leg, is refusing to rest until this race is run. Unbelievable!
At the wall, Dennis is still looking round at where his friends had been. A single brick at head height suddenly drops out of the wall. Dennis looks back at it with a confused frown. He approaches the little hole, rises onto his tiptoes, and looks through it. Beyond the wall is another Dennis Doyle, looking much happier and beckoning him onwards. The real Dennis sighs and barges against the wall as his life flashes before him.
You've never finished anything in your entire life, Dennis.
All you're going to want to do is give up.
I'm not the quitter.
That's exactly what you're going to do, Dennis.
Well, run away! Run away! Let's challenge you!
Dennis takes a few paces back to have a good run-up. He remembers running away from his wedding. He's back to reality with his eyes shut.
Dennis?
He opens his eyes and hobbles forward.
Oh, I don't believe this.
Yes! Yes! He's still going! Go on, you beautiful man! Apologies there, ladies and gentlemen, but it's really rather hard not to get caught up in the drama of it all. Now, let's take one more look at how Dennis broke that ankle, and here it is. It appears that the runner there next to Mr. Doyle is involved in some way. In fact, if we look at it again, here, yes, he deliberately trips him. Bastard! Apologies again.
That's not what happened. That didn't happen.
I can't believe this.
I don't believe it either. I don't understand that. What is that? Honey, that angle makes it look like... He tripped me. Yes, he did.
Still with his entourage in tow, Dennis staggers past a riverside pub where a man hands him a pint, which he has a swig of, and pours the rest over his face.
I can't believe this. Come on, honey, please. Like, I'm gonna do that. Are you kidding me? Honey. All right, look, I'm not myself, okay? I haven't been myself for a long time. Work has not been... It's just this city, you know? It's really hard here for me. Everyone's so polite here, and it's like the food and the I don't know what happened to me. I don't know what, it's this place, you know? I just know it's gonna be better once we move.
Move?
To Chicago.
What?
Too soon?
Oh, come on, Jim.
Where are you going? Oh, you gotta be kidding. Dennis, you can't be serious. The guy left you at the altar pregnant.
She removes her ring.
Nobody's perfect.
Libby!
What a shithead.
Jake. Hey, I know you feel bad, I know you're in incredible pain, but you are so close to me going on holiday. Come on.
Dennis hobbles over a pedestrian bridge with a large posse of well-wishers following behind him. Some are waving little orange flags.
Close to the finish line here at St. Paul's Cathedral, it's safe to say it's been a very long day for myself and my cameraman. It's been a very long day for you watching at home, but for Dennis Doyle, it's been the single longest day of his life.
The west face of St. Paul's Cathedral is dominated by two clock towers and a column-fronted portico. At the edge of the square in front of the building, a glowing orange archway, the finish line. There's 13 hours on the clock.
Come on, Dennis!
A police motorbike leads Dennis slowly around the edge of the square.
That's it, you're there. You're 60 feet. 58 feet. Call it 56 and a half feet and you're there. Come on.
That's my man! Pilot.
But Dennis has his eyes screwed up tight. He looks determined again, then bows his head. He suddenly drops to the floor. The following group are gesturing to him to get up.
Dennis, come on!
But he seems unable to stand.
Stay down, shambles of a man!
Don't get up!
Dennis! Dennis, come on, get up!
Dennis, you're at the finish line, get up. Dennis, this looks bad. People are talking, get up.
Dennis turns onto his side, craning his neck to look towards the finish line. He frowns as Libby and Jake come into his view, hurrying across the square.
Hello, Dennis.
Dennis stares open-mouthed at the pair who are still some way off. He rubs his eyes and looks again. They're now standing just beyond the finish line. With a newfound determination, Dennis grits his teeth and clambers to his feet. As the group behind him watch in amazement, Dennis sprints towards the finish.
Go on, you good thing, go on!
Dennis collapses in Libby's arms. His supporters rush towards him. Jake hugs his father. He kisses his son on the head, and the three of them share a family hug.
He's done it! He's actually done it! This morning, Dennis Doyle was a humble shop worker from North London. Tonight, he goes home a hero!
Oh, yay!
And look at that! This remarkable man collapses into the arms of, I think it's fair to assume, the woman he loves. And look! He's got a son! I didn't know he had a son! Did you know he had a son?
Whit finds the off switch on his TV. It's a new day. An old lady is riding a mobility scooter along the pavement. She passes Dennis.
Hello, Dennis.
Hey.
In a blue V-neck jumper and jeans, Dennis has a spring in his step as he opens the gate to Libby's house and bounds up to the front door. He puffs out his cheeks.
Hi.
Hi.
Jake, your dad's here.
How's it going?
Pretty good.
Good.
You?
Yeah. Yeah, not bad.
You're still running?
Every day. Hopefully in the right direction. Yeah. So. Libby. I was thinking,
Hi, Dad!
Hey, you. it doesn't matter, actually. I'll speak to you later.
Okay.
Say goodbye to your mum.
Bye, Mum.
Bye. I'll see you later.
Bye.
She shuts the door and shakes her head slightly.
Libby, I was wondering, would you like to go and have some dinner with me next week?
Libby ponders this.
You don't have to. It's not,
Yeah.
I mean, wow.
It'd be nice.
Yeah, well, it would be. Oh. I'll give you a call.
Okay.
I know I did that. Just. Okay. Ready?
Yeah.
Mr. G approaches in yellow and red running gear.
Hello! Hello, Dennis!
Mr. G.
Hello, Jake.
Hello.
I was just doing my sprint class.
It's great fun, isn't it?
Oh, it's an amazing workout.
As Libby watches from the doorway, Dennis and Jake run into the stretch of parkland in front of the house.
Right, coming up behind the young pretender. Come on. Jake, oh, he takes the ball from Jake. He has the ball. He's clear. Dad, it's clear.
Give it.
Start off with what I have, please.
I'll give you one too. Nah.
OK, let's go. To Jake. Jake, to Mr. Jake.
Thank you very much.
Libby smiles to herself as she watches them.
There you go, Mr. Jake.
All right, I'm going to... Completely illegal move there. Picks up the player, runs with him all the way.
Gordon aboard a yacht in a harbour speaking to bikini-clad women who are on the jetty.
But that's not all. Because a guy, he can't barely walk, okay, let alone run, but he keeps going. And 25 miles on a shattered ankle. And you know how he did that? You know what he said was the one thing that kept him going? His trainer never gave up on him. He stayed with him the whole way.
And that was you?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's a pretty amazing story, actually. I've got a bottle of champagne open here if you want to hear it.
The women shrug.
Sure.
Well, come on up then.
Gordon's naked from the waist down. The end.
Oh, yeah.